you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Dan Z and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is... Yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
At last! Where have you been?
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
Just like that, Corey, we get the announcement last night that there is going to be a brand new Rogue One trailer premiering. And before we even talk about this, as is our custom, we have not talked about this at all together. I mean, I have talked about it, of course, pretty much all day and online and such, but not to you, not to my co-host. So before we talk about the actual trailer, let's start with what did you feel when you found out and the build up to it and then actually watching it?
Yeah, sure. It's interesting because, like, you know, they announced the trailer coming out. Obviously, it's usually it's like a morning show or it's a this time it was ABC. Was it the Today Show that came out with it, I think?
Good Morning America.
Good Morning
They're
America.
They're both owned by ABC, so that's why.
Gotcha. There you go. Franchise. So it's cool to see like them kind of gearing us up for, you know, something that's coming out the next day. We're not hunting and pecking for it around the internet. It's nice to kind of be able to be relaxed about it, in my essence, and how I kind of take it.
Really?
I
may ask you to explain that, sir.
Sure. I mean, it's interesting because, like, I get amped up about something. Like, I'll find out about a new trailer or a new announcement coming out through, you know, Facebook or Twitter or
me.
You know, yeah, exactly. Our good friend Jeff, or just roundabout ways, and that's fine too. But also I feel like I'm like, I missed it. I was a day ahead or a day behind or whatever the case may be, and I feel like I want to be on point with some of that stuff. Maybe that's just my own way of thinking about things. But when they announce it officially and say, hey, it's coming, you know, Thursday morning, check it out on the show, it's going to premiere type thing, I feel comfortable saying, okay, I can schedule my day around this, and that's comfortable for me.
You said something.
Or odd or crazy.
What's that?
Or odd or crazy. I don't know if that makes sense.
Interesting. Well, here's the deal. At first, you weren't sure you were even going to watch it. That's kind of the big thing that I was interested in as far as, like, how'd that happen?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we kind of talked about it through some texts, and I mentioned that I don't think I'm going to take a look at it. And that's the reason behind that was just, for one, to kind of save myself from just going into it too much. I don't want to, I tend to overthink trailers and such, and, you know, to understand the plot line, the characters, and they do give away stuff in trailers and things. I will say that nowadays, I think they give away too much.
Freddie doesn't even watch them.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a good way to kind of go about it and just go in with a fresh mind on films. But, you know, I was of the mind of, oh, it's not going to show a whole lot more. It'll probably just something they just kind of mash up between the last two, the teaser and the first trailer. And it's kind of the same old, you know? And I thought, well, I'll just kind of, maybe I'll skip this one. And I woke up this morning and right away I saw a link to it in my Facebook feed. And I thought, no, I'm not going to watch it. And I kind of got going about my day, and I thought, you know what? I will watch it because I want to be able to talk about it, enjoy it as a fan, and check it out. So walk downstairs. Like I said, I enjoy having that, being able to be ready. Then of course going to, you know, linked up to this official Star Wars page and viewing it that way. I always go to my desktop to watch it, headphones on, kind of cranked, but a little bit louder than normal. Just feeling the ambiance of that. And that's kind of how I first kind of took it in. Really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too. I enjoyed it immensely. For again, Rogue One seems to be doing this to me, where I'm looking forward to it, but not like I was Episode 7, and not like I am for Episode 8. It just feels different. It's a very different organic kind of a substance to it. It's really unusual, but in an awesome, beautiful kind of way. So I found out about it last night, and I thought, well, okay, that's cool. It seems about like the timing is right on. So I kind of forgot about it just because, you know, life takes over and you do all kinds of different things.
Sure.
And then when I woke up, I didn't forget about it that much, because the first thing I thought of when I woke up is, oh, the new Rogue One trailer's today. And I was so fascinated by the fact that you were actually considering not watching it. And now I knew that wasn't going to happen, because I knew I would record this show and you knew I would pester you until you watched it.
Exactly.
But in this day and age, is it even possible to not watch it? I mean, especially doing what we do, you know, for our passion project, which is our show and our site. Is that even possible to do?
That's a good question. It's a really good question, because I don't think so. I mean, not unless you were, you know, not involved online, social media wise, as far as, you know, connecting with friends and family and fandom. You know, if you're not, I mean, you have to be, you're connected somehow, some way, and somebody's going to link to it or, you know, comment about it. I mean, I had people actually commenting about it that I didn't know were that big of Star Wars fans. They just happened to link to it and say, oh yeah, hey, I watched this, blah, blah, blah. And it's cool to see that kind of strike through our culture, you know, like that. Star Wars is still as big as it is, and it still makes an impact. It still trends. And in this day and age where we can flip open our phones in our pockets and get instant notifications.
Do you have a flip phone? Difficult.
I know. I flip it out of my pocket. I guess I don't know if it's a magic trick or whatnot, but no. Flip phone, yeah, that's right.
Look at that. Wow, we have a time machine.
So there you go. But yeah, I think it's very hard to avoid.
It is hard to avoid. And I mean, in a perfect world, I don't even know if that's the right thing, how I want to explain this, but could I have gone through the next 2 months without watching it? I mean, I'm pretty disciplined, but I don't think I could. And I don't know that I really think it's important. I mean, Star Wars is great about giving you trailers with gorgeous, lush imagery, but not necessarily telling you too much of what's going on. I can't think of a single Star Wars trailer that really broke down the plot so much that it tells you exactly what's going to happen. Now, you can't say that about a lot of trailers. It's more about getting right to it and showing you all the GWAS explosions and things like that. And sometimes trailers will even give away a twist. But this hasn't happened, I don't think. So this is a bit of a meta commentary on what it means to watch a trailer, isn't it? Let's move on to the actual trailer itself. I know you watched in your office. I had an interesting experience where I got to school and I knew it was out because I believe you texted me and said,
I think I said something like, did you watch it yet?
Yeah, I saw your name on my phone, and I purposely didn't read what you wrote because I thought, he's seen it. He's pumped. I got to wait. So I have this thing where I've got a certain amount of papers I need to grade each day, and I force myself to not watch it until I did all my grading, because I thought, if I grade after I've seen it, I'm going to be too distracted. So, and I got, you know, job's got to come first. So I watched
it. At this point.
I graded. I was talking to Tom in the school library, and he goes, have you seen it yet? And I said, no. And he goes, you want to watch it now? And I go, And he kind of laughed and made a face, and my wife had fun teasing me about it. Because I went in my classroom, and I closed the door and turned on the speakers, and I watched it by myself for the first time, because I just sort of wanted to soak it in. And I also did something that I've never done before, and that was because of the Star Wars show.
Yeah.
And I recorded my reactions to it, and I put it on our Coffee with Kenobi YouTube page in the hopes that it'll be on the Star Wars show next week. We'll see if that happens. And it was weird watching it for the first time while I'm filming myself, because I was very aware that I was aware of my reactions.
Sure.
So it was almost like it wasn't that it was disingenuous, but you know what I mean? Let's be honest. I mean, in these reactions, people all ham it up a little. I mean, maybe they don't. But I'm just not the kind of guy that will scream and hold my hands in the air. And I think it's super fun, and I love when people do that. But for me, I just kind of have this dumbfounded, mouth agape look of like, hey, I could be a goldfish. You know what I mean?
That's right. Well, it's funny. You sent that to me and I agree with
and
that
you
sentiment.
Wept. You were so proud of it.
It was wonderful acting. And, no, I'm sorry. It's one of those things that I think captures a little bit of fandom, but like you said, you feel like you're, you know, in the moment and you try to act natural or try to like, this is what I would do if I was naturally watching this without a camera on me, not knowing that, you know, that obviously it's almost like you want someone to film you without knowing you're filming, being filmed and have your, or, you know, natural reaction come out or whatnot. And I didn't think like, oh, he's just pretending to be excited or say, wow, or whatnot. But I feel like generally that was how you would react. I mean,
it is.
I kind of found myself again,
yeah, it was
like you said, mouth agape. And it was kind of like at the end, I realized my mouth was open. Like, oh, I was astonished about, you know, this trailer in its essence. And I thought to myself, oh, this is interesting that I'm in this feeling of like awe, you know, this feeling of like, I'm just blown away. Just something brilliant. You just saw something brilliant.
Interesting. Brilliant meaning my reaction?
No, I'm at the trailer.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's actually, we've spoken for a significant, decent amount of time, and hopefully people are still listening to the show. Thank you again, everyone, for being here. Of course, we are Coffee with Kenobi, and we're pumped to talk about this. It is the third trailer. We had the teaser. We had the first official one not too long ago, and then we've got this one. And just your overall thoughts, and I guess I'm sort of interested in how you weigh this one compared to the other two, but we'll save that for the end. So overall, just immediate overall thoughts.
Okay, so immediate overall, I mean, I was going in with this thing, like, oh, this will be just stuff we've already seen. I felt like most of it was everything I had not seen. It was almost like, I had to compare it to the other ones, but it felt fresh to me.
Yeah.
It felt fresh. Right away, the music captured me. I was drawn into the story, the characters. I mean, I've also kind of got to know these characters a little bit. We've been hunting out on Force Friday, seeing these characters, see them, you know, in articles and such with some of the actors, you know, talking about their character and whatnot. And it's becoming filtered into our mainstream, you know, process as we grow closer to this film. So just like episode 7, you know, these are all brand new characters to us in essence. And it's fun to see them, you know, learn a little bit more about them and see what's going on. So this shift, we can see a couple of new characters. Some of the characters we've seen already, you know, see them some different lines. I was really excited, and I felt like there was just things that I didn't expect and things that got me, you know, drew some mystery into it. And just the overall excitement of, you know, like the trailer says, it's hope or intrigue. And I don't know, I felt like this is a Star Wars film. And I like you mentioned previously, this film is different because it doesn't have that lineage of the classic films. And it's kind of an offshoot thing and an experiment of sorts. But I feel like this stamped it to me. This trailer said, this is Star Wars, and kind of erased all my other doubts of it being, you know, somewhat of a knockoff or in that essence.
I like that. This is Star Wars. I still kind of feel the same way I did before. Like, this is Star Wars, but it's just not Star Wars. And that's so refreshing and wonderful. Overall thoughts for me is I was stunned. I think this one maybe moved me the most. Overwhelmed me perhaps, and not in an emotional way, but more of like an intellectual way. I basically, from the start to the end, it was just like looking at an art book. I mean, you see in this why Gareth Edwards was hired, and we haven't seen the movie, of course, but you see it. I mean, it's right there in front of you. The opening scene with that ship, I think that's Krennic's shuttle based on what we saw on Force Friday or Rogue Friday or whatever they're calling it. That looked like Krennic's ship based on the Lego version of it. And over like this beach and, you know, all these images of the ships flying, the spaceships flying, or the way the Stormtrooper armor just looks so brand new for a design from the late 70s. There's just a lot of stunning imagery. I tweeted to Anthony Bresnikan. He was talking about it because he covers all this. And I'm sure he's seen it before we did. And it's art. It's absolute art in a very non-cinematic way. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's an art book that Lucas has from the films, the original trilogy and the prequels, and it's great, and I really enjoyed it. It's called Frames. But this just looks like something I would see in a museum. And you're the artist. What do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say, too, some of the shots are those long, drawn-out shots that we see landscapes and we see overhead shots. We saw a lot of this, too, with the earlier trailers as well. But, like, this really puts this on display, these characters, often these moments looking distantly off into the sunset or a horizon line. The shots are beautiful. Like you said, the scenery is wonderful. The landscapes are interesting. You know, these are some of the landscapes we haven't necessarily seen in other Star Wars films, new planets. Like I said, we get new stormtrooper armor. And everything looks very, to me, original trilogy, episode 4. They capture that really well in essence. I really felt like I was put back in that time, on that era, and without being, obviously it has the shine of the, current technology of film, but I also felt like I was still placed in that story time of a small rebellion looking to take on a mission. And it definitely encapsulates that, why the shots that were shown.
Interesting. There's something pretty fresh about it too that we've talked, and it's unlike anything I've seen in Star Wars. I would say we need to do this. Let's do a top five again. I sent you a link in our Skype chat, and hopefully you've seen it. And it's Jedi News has a frame by frame breakdown. So it's basically the entire thing through stills.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
gotcha.
That'll help refresh your memory.
Okay.
But to kind of tell me, if you will, let's go top five, not in any particular order, but go ahead.
Sure. Do you want to start with my top five of my personal or from the frames here?
No, no, just that the frames are purely just to spark your memory. And we'll put the frames in the show notes.
Yeah, I wrote down some different thoughts I had. Dan and I watched it just previously to this recording together for both of our third time. And I wrote down some notes as I was watching it for the third time here. And the first one that stood out to me, I really enjoyed the music. It was kind of very sweeping, very kind of energetic, something that wasn't necessarily very Star Wars-y or John Williams-esque, which was kind of nice to me. I felt like this is a different tone. This is a different mood. Like we said, again, this isn't necessarily a Star Wars saga film. This is more, like they say, it's a Star Wars story. It's telling another story in this grand landscape of Star Wars. And it's interesting, the music, how they would kind of put that in and use that way. And I really enjoyed it that much throughout the entire Trier trailer.
The music is stunning. And, since there's been so much of a sweeping change with who the composer is and all that kind of stuff. It definitely struck me. That's the thing that always, I mean, this is a beautiful blending of music and image to create magic. It's cinematic. It's beautiful. This might be one of my favorite Star Wars trailers of all time. I don't know why. I do know why. I'll just start with my first one. I think it's just the opening shot.
Mm-hmm.
And just because, and I'm looking at it right now, right here, but it's just like unlike anything we've ever seen. There's like a cloudy streak in the sky. It almost looks like a cloud racetrack from Super Mario Kart. but then it's got, it looks like Krennic's shuttle, and the sky is bluish, and it's beautiful and full of hope, but you know that there's some danger afoot because the Empire is just so oppressive and omnipresent. And I want to give a shout out to the Star Wars show, because Justin was talking about how in every shot where there's the Empire, people are always looking up at the Empire. The Empire is looking down at the people. It just creates this incredible atmosphere that you are suffocated by them because they're everywhere.
Wow.
And you see that, in the Kanan comic. You see that in the new Ahsoka novel. You see it in a lot of different places, but it's really captured quite beautifully. So just that opening sequence, it really set the tone for me that this was something fresh, and I'll make this my 1A, but the next shot is I assume that's Jin on what looks like almost like a sort of a mirrored shot of Luke, you know, on the Lars homestead, staring up at the twin sons. Is that Jin?
It's not Jin. It's her father.
That's her. Oh, you're right. It is. I just zoomed in on. Yeah.
There's a ship and the looks like the white. I can see the white cape way back in there.
But I appreciate the juxtaposition of that, the comparison of Luke and Hope, and goodness, and then there's Jin's father. And it's dark and cloudy and metaphorical, and you see evil in the distance instead of twin sons indicating hope. And Ed, this guy, you know, Mikkelsen, he appears to be somewhat neutral good, if we can borrow a Dungeons & Dragons term. It's hard to tell. And I saw people are saying there's a lot of spoilers in this trailer. Well, maybe I don't know. I don't see spoilers. I don't know what, I mean, we already knew that her father, they were estranged and that he was helping with the Death Star, and he didn't necessarily want to, and that's kind of the impression we've gotten. And I think this trailer kind of delivers on that. So I just kind of stole like 10 things there for my first one, but you go right ahead.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the next thing that kind of came up to me was, again, these sweeping landscapes, but one that really stuck out, I think a lot of people have been talking about it too, is that overhead shot of the statue, the fallen statue of the Jedi Knight. And I got to say, I mean, I'm taking a second look at it here through these screen captures. It looks awful lot like Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean, I don't know who that is. Obviously, it could be anybody. But I'd like to believe it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, obviously, he's a favorite character of ours. And you know, it's cool to see that because it really harkens back to the prequels and makes you realize a lot of things. Like we said, this isn't necessarily a Star Wars saga story or a Skywalker-centric story. But still, it lives in this time frame of you know, we know that the Jedi Knights have fallen, and it just really makes a nice touching point on, yeah, we're not necessarily a Star Wars saga, but we're also not forgetting where we came from, our roots type thing. I really think that's a really nice shot. It says a lot.
Well, I'm zooming in on these stills now, and on the Star Wars, Leland, she was talking about this, because I first thought that was just some cool rock landscape structure. Uh-huh. Every time I watch it, but now that I'm looking at this still, yeah, it looks like
it's a mindscape thing. Yeah, you can see the hand, the lightsaber.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's confirmed by Leland Chi. It's a lightsaber and a statue, and there's the hood there. I mean, I don't know why there would be a statue of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He's a legendary Jedi Knight, of course.
Well, yeah, but they're trying to exterminate the very idea of the Jedi. You know, your sad devotion to that ancient religion does not help you conjure up those stolen data tapes, you know, right from Star Wars New Hope, from Admiral Mahdi and Vader talking and Tarkin. So they are trying to eradicate it. And yes, it is showing that metaphorically, again, that the even nature is starting to sweep away the existence of the Jedi. We know there are no Jedi in this. So
that's
is that your number two? Just that image?
That's my number two. Yeah. Well, just that imagery and that story that image tells. You know, like you said, there's no Jedi in this, but there kind of is. I mean, in the back of your mind, you kind of really remember that, like, this is what kind of went down, the Order 66, and this is a troubling time. There's no hope, and they're just looking to get by and you know, live out their lives and hopefully, you know, do what they can. And then this tells me like there was other times before this, and obviously the prequels tell a whole different story too. I mean, but it's just really cool to tie all that in.
I'm going to take that one as well, because it's, I mean, it's just cool that there's mystery and intrigue there, and it's not really subtle, but it's just so quick that if you didn't have the internet, you really wouldn't probably have caught it. I wouldn't think, unless you're incredibly astute.
I caught it.
Yeah, well,
no, I caught it. Yeah, I saw it. Well, I saw it. I watched it twice this morning, and I saw it the second time. I kind of realized, oh, it looks like hands, and I realized, oh, that looks like a lightsaber, and then it kind of clicked to me that it looked like a robed figure. So
I didn't realize it was that close in on the actual image. I thought it was zoomed out way further, but no, now that I look at it, for sure. I guess it's your turn for the third one, even though we pretty much both have the second one as the same. I feel like mine are going to be very similar to my reactions to the first full trailer, but maybe not.
Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, we've seen some other things, some of their previous trailers. And again, something that stuck out to me was a lot of the one-liners that some of the characters had. I'll kind of name a couple that I enjoyed. I liked hearing Krennic speak. We hadn't heard him speak yet. And I don't remember what he said off the top of my head, but it something, you know, it sounded like he was in control of a situation of sorts. But the one that stood out to me the most, which, and this character is really coming into his own for me, it was Chiwet Emwe, and I'm probably saying that wrong.
Emwe, yeah. You like him, don't you?
You know, he's a really cool character because he's unique in the sense that he's not a Jedi, but yet he still follows the Force, the ways of the Force, or trusts the Force. And his line is, take hold of this moment. The Force is strong. And man, it gave me goosebumps. And this whole trailer gave me goosebumps. And just hearing that, I was just like, take hold of this moment. Like, he's not giving up. He's going to fight till the bitter end. And I was just like, man, this guy gets it, you know. Maybe some other folks might, you know, that he's along with my doubt, you know, what's going on in their situation or what kind of odds they're up against. And this guy, even though he's blind, he is grasping, you know, and holding on to the Force and fighting through it. So I think that was a great line and from a great character.
See, I'm undecided on him. I mean, I know we're clearly supposed to like him. He's clearly supposed to be the resident power. You know what I mean? Like, there's no Jedi, but he seems to be the closest to it in this film.
Sure.
Just based on, the select knowledge that we actually have. But I don't know. I'm just sort of ambivalent to him right now. I don't know. I feel like he's not. I don't know. There's just something about him that isn't clicking for me. Like, he
really?
Feels like they all feel like Star Wars characters. When he does things and the way he speaks and his dialogue, I feel like he's an actor.
Like, really?
Yeah, I'm just not buying into what he's selling. And that's completely unfair because I haven't seen the film. And the guy is an excellent actor. I mean, his body of work is pretty impressive. But I don't know, just maybe the way that he's being framed in this trailer is just not working for me. I don't really know why.
That's interesting. Huh.
So, yeah, I'm interested to see what others think as well. My third one is Vader. I'm not going to wait and prolong it to the end.
I wondered.
Yeah. Well, gosh. I mean, I spent more time than I should have trying to freeze that image, and I put it on our post when I was encouraging our Coffee with Kenobi family to weigh in on the trailer.
Sure.
And it's so gorgeous. I mean, he's walking in.
No, he's
smoke,
not walking.
He's almost like a gate. He's just kind of. Kind of a quick gait as he's hopping through, not hopping, but he's
stalking.
He's determined.
He's determined. Yeah. He's going to get what he's there to do.
He's intimidating as heck. I mean,
he's
super scary. And it looks like they're calling back to, you know, the Cloud City, the Bespin.
Yeah. That's exactly what I got from
that carbonite, the carbon freeze chamber. That's what it feels like. And the way that thing is lit, where everything is white. There's a little bit of gray, and I'm assuming he's walking towards your boy. but it's tricky because the next scene it looks like Jin's father, Mads Mikkelsen, is not in a good place. So I can't tell if Vader's in that scene or not. I don't think that he is, but
that's just good.
Vader looks so impressive and intimidating, and the fact that this design from the late 70s can still give you chills or, you know, inspire you to, and actually make you a little bit afraid when I'm a grown man, you know, I got a family and kids and it's just like, whoa, that is intimidating. Like and it hits the note in all the right ways. And here's something crazy. I tweeted out something about how that image, and I mentioned the fact that, boy, I never thought I'd see this. It's incredible. I got more hits and retweets and comments on that particular tweet than anything I've tweeted in my entire life.
Wow.
Even more than the commercial. Impressive. Yeah.
Huh.
And I think it's just because I tagged Rogue One and put an image of Vader. I mean, honestly, it's not like I was saying anything groundbreaking, but it's moving people. And he's such a force of nature. Vader is a force of nature that's all you need. I mean, honestly, this trailer would have been incredible without it, but just tossing him in there just gives that glimpse to people of like, oh my gosh, Darth Vader is in this thing. I can't miss it. So clearly that's the third one. I mean, probably if I was ranking them in order, it probably would be number one. No. Mm-hmm. Well, it'd be 1A. I know what the other one would be. So
gotcha. Yeah, just to tag on my thoughts on that scene. Like you said, he's definitely determined. But I also like the fact that he doesn't speak. And that's not spoiled there. There are spoilers and whatnot. There are little hits and bits right there, but it gets you. It's more of like mystery and intrigue versus really spoiling something. Like, obviously, it's a shot of Vader, but and also, like you said, he's a force to reckon with. He embodies the Star Wars, saga. And again, like, it's not a Star Wars story, or it's not a Skywalker story. I think I feel like I'm repeating myself a million times, but he's still attached to the goings on of the universe, the galaxy there.
Oh yeah.
And like you said, and we see him in Rebels in this almost the same exact way. And when he enters the scene, he's there and he just chews it up, and it's all about him. So he's definitely a scene stealer, and it was a great moment, I thought, for this trailer.
You can't look away. I wouldn't say that you're repeating yourself. It's because we keep hitting on these themes that are important, mm-hmm. and they're just right there. They're in your face, and for all the right reasons.
Sure.
You can't have Vader on too much because, like you said so well, he's such a presence that he eats up everything. Like, you can't not focus on him. He doesn't blend in.
Right.
You know what I mean? If he was at a cocktail party, everyone would know where he was. And not just because of the breathing. He's such an incredible thing. And I love that he didn't talk. I know you did. You said the same thing.
Yeah.
Because I want the first time I hear James Earl Jones's dialogue and bombastic voice through the lens of Vader, I want to have those chills in the movie theater.
Me too. Exactly. That's what we deserve.
I mean, I don't know if that's
exactly fair. And they've done a good job of marketing that way, knowing that they've got a lot more in store for us. So it's exciting to see that. My fourth thing, and I think we've talked about this before previously, that we hadn't seen X-Wings necessarily up to this point. And as we go through this kind of montage of action sequences, Jyn speaking and she's talking about hope and bringing forces together and we'll never stop fighting. And there's this scene of X-Wings flying off in battle. And I was like, oh, that's so refreshing to see that. That's so cool that we'll see some X-Wing battles and hopefully some great action and explosions and whatnot. But I guess I'd kind of forgotten that we have, X-Wing pilots that and a fleet that are, somewhat of a ragtag team, but they're there and they exist. And who knows how they'll interact with the movie and the goings on of the mission. But it was really cool to see that. I know it's one of your favorite things out of the Star Wars universe is the X-Wings, and it got me excited to see those. And so it was a moment that I was like, oh, Dan will really like this.
That's interesting because it's not really that it is. X-Wings hit me in a profound way when I put on that outfit for the commercial. That's when it really
okay.
– but before that, I've always liked X-Wings. But it's not like I've ever gravitated towards them. But again, wearing that, it's impossible not to. If you're wearing that on a green screen for something Star Wars, it's impossible not to be like, I'm in love. You know what I mean?
That's right.
But I love that scene too. And it was sort of on the cusp of if I was going to include it in this list or not, but I'll just address what you were saying. It almost seems like that's like a different angle of the original attack on the Death Star from A New Hope. You know what I mean?
I never thought about that.
That's what I thought. Is that what they're doing, or was there a pre-attack?
Sure,
which seems sort of strategically not as solvent, but I don't know. Again, we'll find out in December 16th. But I like that too, and the imagery. They keep doing this incredible job of showing us these familiar images and ideas and battles and. It feels new and old at the same time. That's hard to do and to make it genuine. And then that one of the hangups that some had on the prequels was that, well, this is set way before the original trilogy, but it all looks way newer and more advanced. That's never, I totally get that. It's somewhat anachronistic, but it's really not because I buy into the notion that the Emperor and the Empire just sort of took everything. They're like bioorganic locusts, and they go through and they take everything from the Zare novels that Jason Fry wrote or from the Ahsoka novel, the Empire goes on planets and they suck it dry like parasites.
Yeah.
So that makes sense they would suck up the technology as well.
No, right. It does. I mean, they take what they want and they leave nothing. So it's definitely, I mean, we see that all over the place in the, after Order 66 and pre episode 4 and, even episode, we see it throughout the original trilogy of them just having almost unlimited resources And like you said, the reason they had to get that was just to take it, take the technology. And obviously we see this, we kind of see like the interesting aspect. You said that it makes me think of like this whole storyline we're seeing here in this trailer, that they're obviously getting what they want. They're obviously getting Jin's father to help them. That was revealed obviously to build a master, space station to, like you said, just to take what they want and own the galaxy. And this was the next steps doing to that. Just that. So, I think that's definitely, if it's a run on, if the X-Wings are a run on the Death Star, or if that's in conjunction to like a pre-run, I don't know, finding weak spots or something. I don't know. It's interesting to kind of think about that.
When I look at some of these images from a Jedi News, I'm not as convinced of that now. There's definitely something that's, they're okay. attacking in space, but the X-Wings, they definitely look older. I mean, like they did in Star Wars. To me, it's Star Wars, and that X-Wing looks like Star Wars. I've sort of been, again, the Resistance's X-Wing models, especially Poe's black and orange one.
Yeah.
I like that design so much more just because it's just so crisp, and I like the why the S-foils open up, but that one's pretty stunning. So I'll move on to my next one. We're babbling more than we usually do.
We're excited.
We're excited. My next one is that gorgeous image. They're making the Death Star like enchanting, and it shouldn't be. It's a weapon of mass destruction. But that image of it sort of in the clouds and almost looks like a mirage, and it's creeping up on the atmosphere. It's just so chilling and beautiful. And this is the art that Gareth Edwards and the director of photography are bringing to this picture. It's just a wonderful image, and it's almost like we're here. We're beautiful and enthralling because of the technology. You know, as Krennic says, the power, and he squeezes his hand together, which I'm sure a lot of people love. They're really doing something special, something extraordinary.
We said all along, even the. We've seen some of these posters come out, and the Death Star is definitely a major figure, looming over our heroes and our small band of folks, mission takers. And yeah, it's cool because it's like that's what this whole story is about, right? So it's interesting that way, that it's this imposing force, like you said earlier, it's shining down, always shining down on us and kind of making us claustrophobic. Well said. For my last thing, number five, and I could go on forever, I think, as far as favorite things. There's so many things I'm thinking about just looking through these images. But overall, I just really, I'm starting to enjoy these characters. I think I felt the most about this was these characters are becoming Star Wars characters in my mind. I'm getting to know them, getting to enjoy them on the screen. But I think overall, we have so many different diversity type characters in this film. There's robots and men and women and different backgrounds characters. We have characters who are powerful, characters who seem they're possibly, you know, a little weaker and need help. And just all across the board. And it just shows me that, you know, that those who bind together can work together for the greater good. And that's inspiring. I mean, they talk about, you know, looking for a hope or, you know, achieving hope. And obviously it's a callback, like you said, to A New Hope, episode 4. And it's interesting that, you know, that's what they have to cling on, to be able to grasp and carry them through battle and carry them onto their mission. And these characters are fresh. I think they're all interesting looking. We have different, you know, accents, we have different languages and such, and just a whole host of, you know, brand new characters we get to kind of get to dive into, and enjoy.
Interesting. And I like how you said the word Klingon, and it sounded like you're talking about Star Trek.
You know, when I said that, I kind of thought that sounds like a Star Trek thing. Yeah. But no. Clinging on to hope. Yes.
Clinging on to hope. Yes. There's a lot of optimism in the darkness through this thing.
Yes.
Which I enjoy. Mm-hmm. My last one is the image. There are two times in the trailer where Krennic is face to face with Jyn Erso's father. And they both speak loudly. One is when Jyn is a young lady, and one is when they're older, and it's raining. And he's, you know, Krennic has come off the shuttle, and Mikkelsen is waiting for him, and he's just such a great actor. And you know, whenever I see him, I think of Casino Royale. I know he's made quite a splash in the TV show Hannibal. He just looks like I'm really drawn to him. He's almost become the most interesting character to me in this film.
Wow.
Just because of this trailer. And I mean, he's such a good actor. So I don't know. Do you still love Krennic as much as you did before?
You know, yeah, hearing him speak makes me intrigued about him. And in some of the scenes we've seen him in this trailer, I won't say lost my luster, but I felt like, oh, he has a side of him that maybe seems like weak, or it says his look in his eyes, he's looking to try to be the power, take hold of the forces he's looking to command. And maybe that doesn't always happen great for him. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's not as powerful as he thinks he wants to be, or I don't know. It's hard to say because I don't know. I've only seen him a handful of times. And you mentioned, you know, Jin's father, and this is the first time we see him on the screen and saying a few lines. And it's interesting, you're so drawn to him. And it obviously plays on, you know, a father and a daughter's relationship, which is interesting in these times of war. And it's like I said, there's a lot of darkness and sadness to even this trailer. That the rain obviously is signifying tears in a sense of lostness and unfairness almost to this fact that Empire is so strong, we spoke about earlier. And it's interesting to think about that, you know, is there hope or are we just kind of just fighting for nothing here and just, you know, spinning our gears? And is he falling to the dark side, or not the dark side? Is he falling to the Empire in a sense of like, that's his last resort to protect his loved ones? So there's so many things, dynamic things going on here. And they, like I said, they captured it in such a great way in the rain. And being able to express that through film.
The first time we saw him in the original teaser trailer, I was intrigued by him. And yes, he's got his cape and all this.
Yeah.
And he just looked, I just liked the visuals of him. Mm-hmm. And the second trailer, I'm like, okay, that's fine. And this one, he just feels like a cartoon character.
Wow.
He just seems, and that's very critical, isn't it? And I don't mean that to be negative.
No, I think it's critical, but it's interesting that you see as some of these, we brought up a couple of characters here and you've just seen them as, you know, just kind of cardboard cutouts a little bit. And
he's not a cardboard cutout. He just seems, this is the thing about Rogue One for me. It doesn't feel like Star Wars. It does feel like Band of Brothers, the Star Wars version. It does very much feel like that to me. And when I see him, he feels like a villain from a popcorn movie.
Like a moo-ha-ha villain.
Yeah. Just sort of like, I'm bad, I'm evil, I'm not really realistic.
Not a threat?
No, he's a threat, but he's just not, he doesn't feel like he could, here's the thing. I feel like I could take Jin Erso or her father, you know, or some of these other characters, and I could take them out of a Rogue One and put them in a World War II movie and they would fit perfectly and you wouldn't miss a beat. But when I look at him, he just seems like someone from a sci-fi popcorn flick. And I don't mean that to be negative. I'm just saying based on that image alone, he's not hitting me in the way that Mads Mikkelsen is. And it's not really so much of a knock against Krennic as it is. I'm so intrigued by this Mikkelsen character. I must not be that intrigued because I keep referring to him as the actor and not his actual character name.
I don't know.
Does any of that make sense?
Yeah, it's interesting. An interesting take, I will say. I mean, it makes me think about Mikkelsen's character a lot. I don't know much about him. I don't know what the stakes are in the essence of what we've seen so far. And there's a lot. There's, like I said, there's a lot of mystery intrigue going on here. There's a lot of. They're not spoilers. They're not. I feel like they're just, they're little, you know, light taps, if you will, saying here's what we're moving towards, and getting people and fans and friends excited about this. But it doesn't tell me a whole lot, but it gets me excited to hear you speak about this because it does, like, oh yeah, I wonder what his deal is, or, you know, why do you think he's more popular than, or in your eyes, why is he more popular than the Empire's figure or the Empire in general, and some of these other characters that I feel more drawn towards. It's interesting because, like I said earlier, like one of my favorite things about this is the diversity that fans and viewers can go and watch this and pick out their favorite character. Say, I relate to this character the most, or I enjoy this character the most because of, you know, the line they said, or a cool action sequence. Oh, he was so cool because I relate to him. Like we've talked about, I like K2SO because I think he's just unique. I like the way he looks, the way he is on screen. And maybe I won't be the same. You know, I'm interested to see how you will report on this too after we see the film.
Yeah.
And come away with obviously seeing, you know, all the characters on the screen, and seeing how we like them from now. So it's so interesting to take your take and see what how you thought that. And it's I don't want to think that it's a negative take, not at all by any means. No. I think it's a critical take by a fan and just by a short trailer.
Right. Exactly.
So, well done. Well said.
Thank you. And before we wrap this up, we did post something on our website and on Twitter and on Facebook where we wanted people to share their thoughts, their immediate thoughts on the trailer. And as promised, we're going to incorporate them into our conversation. So we'll go with the first one from Andre H. And he wrote, "The feeling that these Rogue One trailers have instilled in me is something different, something new. There is a serious sense of urgency and peril. The rebel situation is dangerous, and the trailer made me feel that desperation. You get a sense of the full, awful power of the Empire. They look ruthless and without mercy. This is a different kind of Star Wars, and I couldn't be more excited for December 16th to come." Well, it's like you're reading my mind, Andre. I agree. It's just so different and so oppressive in a very gritty, non-science fiction universe sort of a way, or I should say non-science fantasy sort of a way. And it's compelling in a way that sort of challenges your preconceived notions of what a Star Wars film is.
Yeah, Andre does a great job of having that sense of urgency and peril. You know, like you said, this trailer does have this. I mean, there's this essence of like, will they fulfill their mission? Will they, you know, get along? Will they be able to just do as they're instructed and not wane from that path or you know, back down? And I think the trailer does a great job of showing that, and Andre hits right on the head there. So very well done.
And you agree too. There's that sense of urgency, and the rebels they're desperate, and it's amazing. I honestly almost wish there wasn't as much story about the Empire before Rogue One, because I feel like I've already got a good sense of them with Lost Stars and again the Ahsoka novel and in the Kanan comic and the Zair books. The Zair Leonis, man, all the way.
There you go.
So I don't know, but it definitely is consistent with what we have seen. And it, again, so gritty and crisp, and I love it. So let's go on to Jason's. Jason Hall, Patreon contributor. Thank you again, Jason. And he writes, "Morta Jin's story was revealed, opening up the door as to why she is vested in this mission. And the scene with Galen and Jin was very moving for me. Seems as though he, Galen Erso, was given a choice. Help the Empire or else. The father-daughter story underlying the movie is most interesting to me. What would you do to protect the people you love? I could be way off there, but that's what I took from the trailer."
Wow. Yeah, that's what we talked about kind of earlier, right? I mean, we kind of drew from that scene as well, this father-daughter relationship. And you brought it up that Galen Erso is his name there. That was a really interesting take. And again, not knowing a whole lot, again, this trailer has really opened my eyes to what the story can be, aside from just, like I say, a mission-based story. And there's deeper threads here pulling on these characters. So, yeah, it's cool that every viewer gets to see something a little bit different.
Yeah, and I agree with Jason that it's definitely what is shown. It's definitely what the filmmakers and the hype machine of Lucasfilm want us to think.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether that's actually it. I feel like there will be twists in this thing, and I don't know where that will come from, but I feel like there's more to Galen Erso than meets the eye. And again, I don't know. I just, there's something about me, there's something about him that just tells me this guy's going to be important. This guy's going to be compelling. I mean, if he's the one who helped create the Death Star, I mean, that's serious stuff. You know what I mean? That's like creating a nuclear weapon. It's powerful. The power, Corey.
The power.
We're going to be probably hearing that forever and ever. Aren't
like
we?
A t-shirt, something like that.
Yep.
The power.
That's right. Mike DeRose He's at Live the Force on Twitter. He's a great contributor online with our Coffee with Kenobi family as well. He has a little more to say, and he puts, I want to take a moment to acknowledge Riz Ahmed as Bodhi. We do not see much of his character, but what we do see is very telling. We need to keep in mind that this is not the same Star Wars as the prequels. Our main characters are not powerful warriors using the Force. There are no lightsabers to deflect blaster bolts with ease. What we have are normal beings who make the conscious choice to be brave and to do the right thing. The Jedi of the prequels were qualified and trained to be in battle. That is not the case with characters such as Bodhi. The look on Bodhi's face in the trailer when he is hiding behind a crate tells us so much about his character in only a fraction of a second. A testament to Riz Ahmed's acting abilities. Here's a man not comfortable in a firefight. He is scared, but more importantly, he is determined. He wants to do the right thing, even if it does not come naturally to him. We see in the next shot he is no longer hiding, but moving towards some unknown objective surrounded by the raging battle. Rogue One will hopefully be filled with characters whose leadership does not come easily, whose bravery is not first nature, but with characters who choose to do the right thing. Bodhi seems to be the first of hopefully many examples of this in the film. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
And that's a great emphasis on a character that we really haven't talked much about in any of these discussions. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, there's just that. I mean, I guess in every time we do see him, he does seem sort of like in way over his head, but he's still fighting. You know what I mean? He's still standing up to oppression like we can't even imagine. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of powerful acting in this thing. I mean, do you foresee any acting awards to come out of this thing?
I don't know about acting awards. I don't know if it's that established as
well. Sir Alec
Guinness
was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Star Wars.
Look at you. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well done. Yeah, I mean, as far as Riz Ahmed, the actor as Bodhi, and seeing this character in this trailer, I mean, we really didn't mention him too much. And one of my things I like were the one-liners. And one of them, another one that stuck out, I kind of wrote down here, I've in quotes, this is Rogue One. And that's something that kind of bothered me the most
cool.
Time. Yeah, about the title of this film, Rogue One, I always thought, well, where did that come from? How did they land on that, you know? And this kind of gives us that backstory. I think it's cool that almost to me, it seems like he's making it up on the fly, you know? And he looks a little bit scared.
You didn't like that, how they revealed the call sign?
No, I did like that. I liked the way that it was almost like, well, what do we say? And he's like, I Rogue One, you know? It's cool to see that and then reflect that back into the title of the film. Like, it really heightens it for me. And I think it seems like it just says a lot for that character. Like Mike said here, for that character to be able to be maybe feeling a little more, you know, of a weaker character. What am I fighting for? What can I do to contribute to this mission? And maybe he's doubting himself, but yet we see him contribute in a huge way. And maybe saving the bacon there a little bit in that scene. And like I said, it reflects such a great personification of the title of the film.
Oh, nice. Well done. Did you say bacon, by the way?
Saving bacon, yep.
Yeah. Has that ever been said in a Star Wars podcast?
Not yet.
That's exciting. Well, this is it. I mean, this is when this is released, it's going to explode, baby. That's, you know what, Mike brings up something in what you said in response to his insight, kind of triggers something in me where, yeah, this is about the little man.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a farm boy turned greatest Jedi Knight of all time. This isn't a rogue, charming smuggler who's got a heart of gold and will be a hero to the rebellion or a princess turned general who is one of the bravest fictional characters of all time. It's not them. These are just, you know, people in the trenches.
Every
man sort of stuff.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of diversity too. They come from different backgrounds and looking, they're being oppressed. And there's so much, like Mike said, there's so much going on here. And he just keys on just one character. And we only see a glimpse of that. I think it's really cool to see that. It's the small rising up. It's the David versus Goliath feeling of, you know, fighting and raging back and doing whatever you can to be able to take on that giant and you know, hopefully make a dent. So,
well,
yeah,
I have a feeling Corey, it's going to be successful.
I hope so.
Well, just go see Star Wars and you'll feel better.
Oh, is that how it ends?
It does. Does that count as a spoiler? No.
Nah.
No. No, it does. The film's almost 40 years old, and you're listening to a Star Wars podcast. It's not a spoiler. So, any last-minute thoughts before we move on? We do have, at the end of our program, we recorded a little bit for Force Friday. Not a ton, because it was just a very different atmosphere than the original Force Friday for The Force Awakens. But we do have some things we want to share with you, and some of it is video or audio from our Periscope. So that will be at the end of this podcast. But before we move along to that, any last-minute thoughts or comments on the second trailer of Rogue One?
Yeah, I mean, again, I just want to establish that, you know, I feel like this is a Star Wars film in my eyes. As a fan of Star Wars, I feel like it encapsulates Star Wars to me. And a lot of that comes with, we talked about, you know, Vader coming and having that presence and just, you know, seeing these characters kind of come alive again and seeing the new environments and new scenes and hearing them speak great lines and the sweeping landscapes and such. But one thing we hadn't necessarily talked about a whole lot, and maybe we'll get to it maybe our next show, but I'll hint on here, as they released the Star Wars Rogue One official poster, and it was the day before the trailer, and it encapsulates the trailer a lot to me. I go back and look at it. I think looks a lot like the trailer, the second trailer we just watched. It has all the characters on there. Obviously, there's an ominous Death Star in the background. Vader's back there looming. And these larger-than-life characters taking on a big, even bigger battle. So it's a great-looking poster. Again, it's got the island planet. The stormtroopers at the bottom kind of doing their swimsuit issue type thing going on. The AT-ATs going walking, and we got TIE fighters and such, and U-wings, and it's just a great image. It's really unique, and it's a lot about the film itself.
Agreed. Yeah, we didn't talk about the poster. Yesterday was quite a blockbuster day for announcements. And we knew there was going to be a trailer. We saw the poster for Rogue One, which I love. I love how Vader blends in, kind of like that image I talked about before with the Death Star in the clouds. Such a mocking display of typically looking in the clouds is supposed to bring hope and peace, and this is the opposite of that, which is again metaphorical to what the Empire or oppression can do to good people, to people who don't really get a chance to decide their future, which is why freedom is obviously so critical and why history is full of us trying to find freedom in all walks of life, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. When did this become so didactic? Anyway, I love the poster too. I like it much more than I expected. I would the ones that were released a few weeks ago from overseas doesn't really do it for me as much, but this one is pretty great. Gary Whitta, who wrote Rogue One, talked about how he can't imagine how he can't even explain how thrilling it is to see the images of this in that poster. And hey, it's going to look good on my wall. That's all I can say about that. So it was pretty great. So if anyone else has any thoughts or comments on Rogue One, go ahead and jump in on the web on coffeewithkenobi.com. We have a thread there ready for you, or we're always happy to talk with you online on social media, Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr and everywhere that Coffee with Kenobi can be found. Anything else before we go on to our Force Friday coverage?
Yeah, I will say this. I really hope this is the end of the trailers and shots. I'm sure there'll probably be some TV shots and stuff and
that's what
things like that. But, you know, I'm satisfied right now with where I'm at as a fan going into this film. I feel like I'm ready to see it. I know we're about a month and a half away, well, about 2 months away. I'm comfortable. I'm excited for the film. I'm in a different place I was a year ago, 2 years ago when this was announced and we started talking about it. I feel like I'm excited to see it. I want to see it on the opening day. I want to just dive into these characters and I don't want to be spoiled anything else. So like we did before, I'm going to try and stay clear of spoilers and kind of on the internet and stuff and kind of sidestepping and saving my own bacon, if you will. And being until. There you go, being able to just kind of stay stagnant a little bit before I see the film.
Exactly. I was sticking with the breakfast theme.
Exactly. Wonderful. Eggs and bacon.
I'm actually hungry for eggs and bacon now.
Delicious.
Delicious. Well, that does go nice with coffee. I will say.
Well said.
I think let's make a pact. Who's going to join us on our pact? From now on, any images or TV commercials, I'm not watching any of them.
So I do believe there will be things that come out. I mean, not to spoil us. Obviously, we have the James Luceno book, Star Wars Catalyst, as a kind of a, I want to think it's a prequel to the film. I'm excited for that. I'll read that. Obviously, more merchandising, more action figures, and second wave of 3¾ inches Black Series figures, our favorite, vinyl pop figures that are coming out. So I think there's still things that are coming out that necessarily won't spoil us, but I think we'll be excited about to talk about.
All right. Is it reasonable to say that you and I are starting to get kind of the pop addiction? Is that reasonable?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm as big as our friend from Force Friday.
No.
That we're in line,
no,
Toys R Us.
He's the master.
Sure,
yeah.
He is the master. He showed us his wall of pop figures that were literally, I think, like wallpaper, and it was incredible. But I do have a handful of ones I do enjoy, and I think I might go back out and hunt out some more. And just because I really like them, I think they're a unique thing and something that hits me as a fan that are fun to collect and grab a hold of.
Right on. I agree. I love them too. So, and that's something I tried to resist, but it just didn't work. That's kind of what Star Wars does. You know, Leland Shee recently said, you can't ever imagine a time from now on where it won't be a great time to be a Star Wars fan. That's encouraging. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, thank you again so much for joining us for another cup of coffee. We will now head towards our Force Friday coverage.
Han Solo, Rebel Soldier, Lando Calrissian, and Bespin Guard each sold separately from Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back Collection, new from Kenner.
Looking? Found someone you have, I would say,
Your lightsabers will make a fine addition to my collection.
All right, welcome to another Force Friday. Dan Z and Corey Club here from Coffee with Kenobi with special correspondent Tom Gross. Say hello, everybody.
Hello there. Hello.
Hello. Good to see everybody.
Yeah, we are in an interesting predicament here because the first store we went to was closed and there was no midnight opening. And then we called the other store in that area and that wasn't open either. So we're standing outside here of a different store, and there is a queue of two gentlemen outside, so we're going to venture in pretty soon. But before we do that, we sort of want to talk about kind of the excitement of Force Friday and what this sort of means for us. I'm going to hand it over to my good friend and co-host, Corey Club.
Oh, that's quite the induction there. It's interesting because we talked about, like, the aspirations of, like, just getting up and driving, finding a spot, and we were out last year, I remember, and we got right in the first store, and it was fun. There was excitement. There was, they had those online releases as well, and it was kind of get everybody excited to see what's coming out in stores. So this year we didn't have a lot of online openings or reveals, so that was kind of interesting in the marketing wise. They have had an excellent commercial featuring our one and only Dan Zare, so that's quite special, and so it's interesting. The mood is a little bit different for me.
Yeah. Tom, what about you?
Well, I had tweeted earlier today that this is something that reminds me of, I was preparing to be a kid again. And this is what, when you're a kid, when you're, 9, 10, 11 years old and new toys are coming out, you didn't get to participate in stuff like this. So this is like being a kid at an older age, I won't say how old our ages are, but we're big kids now, and so it's exciting to see the new figures, the new ships. Even though you're right, Corey, there's been a lot more release of the toys visually. We kind of know what to expect, I think. But I'm just waiting for some surprises. I don't know if there will be some, but that's what I'm waiting for.
Well, we actually had quite a nice surprise a few hours ago when I got home from school. There was, everybody was home and everybody was chatting up. And then my 3-year-old came in and said, Daddy, I want to show you this box. And I said, okay, hon, I'll be right there. And he said, I think it's a Star Wars box, Daddy. So I thought, ooh, Force Friday. What happened? So we went into my room and there was a huge box bigger than my 3-year-old. We opened it up and it had a ton of Rogue One merchandise, which we're going to put a link to in the show. So it was amazing. Thank you so much, Hasbro, for your generosity. We're definitely going to have a lot of fun with that. What are some of the things that you got out of that swag, Mr. Club?
Yeah, definitely. I was interested in the 6-inch Black Series Jenna, so it was something that was pretty cool to see in that package. Also, my kids are big in the Nerf toys and things like that, lightsabers and stuff, so a couple of blasters from there were pretty cool to see as well. And some classic stuff. There's some Boba Fett, like little miniature die-cut cast things of helmets and ships and things. So it's classically done, and of course they're extending the line of those type of collectibles.
Yeah, the exact contents that we looked at were there were two Nerf guns, one of the Jin Erso variety and one of the Death Trooper, and that one when you press down the trigger. It makes some noises, so that's pretty cool. It lights up. Fancy. Ooh, Nerf. Look at you. Look at you. You're all grown up. And we've got the 6-inch Black Series of Jyn Erso and a 6-inch Black Series of Cassian Andor. Then we had the bigger figs that Hasbro puts out. What would you say those are about? 12 inches? We got the Death Trooper of that. And then we got a 3¾-inch Jyn Erso and a 3¾-inch Stormtrooper, which is great. And then we got the Death Trooper mask, and then we got the miniature helmets of Boosh and Boba Fett, and then the Inquisitor's TIE Advanced prototype. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Thomas, holding it up for those of you on News Channel 8 who can see this. Just kidding. There is no News Channel 8. That was a Tony Kornheiser reference. So we had our first attempt at Periscope, and it was so exciting because we sat in the car, and it was dark, and you could barely see us, and it lasted for probably 17 seconds. So that's the quality you get, you know, from Coffee with Kenobi's Periscope, I guess. We're going to try to do something a little bit more fancy than that when we can actually see a little bit better. So we're going to go maybe wait in line outside the store and get the ambiance of standing outside in the cold. The wind nipping at our toes like Jack Frost as we await for its Friday fun. All right, we are back. Now we actually braved it. We came outside of the car in the cold, but I'm quite comfortable in my stylish Rebels jacket. Corey is not wearing a jacket. No, he didn't plan. Here that, I have no jacket. Failing to plan is planning to fail, as I tell my students. So as we're walking up to the store, we find friends of ours from last year's Force Friday, and we've got Mr. Funko Pop here. So how's it going, man? Excited for Force Friday again?
Very much so.
What is it that you have your eye on now?
Looking to get some of the Black Series figures and then get some of the Pops.
Cool. Is there a certain character right now that you already have found that you have already gravitated towards, even though we haven't really seen much about any of these characters?
Really liking to see the backstory of Jyn and see where her story is going to lead.
Yeah. Absolutely. What about you, man? What are the things that you're interested in?
Anything involving a Death Trooper. Yeah. Those guys look awesome.
They're pretty cool. We got the mask earlier today, and it's got a thing on the side where every time he talks, the green lights up. Yeah, they're pretty slick. They're pretty slick. Are you a Funko Pop guy as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are we doing over on Periscope?
Good. We've got a lot of people watching us.
All right. Any questions?
Hello from Indiana.
Hello, Indiana. Well, Darth Taxis, what are you looking forward to getting? Not sure yet. What about, let's call in you. What are the things that you want? Is it certain characters or certain kind of figures, or what are you interested in? This is Tom, by the way.
Hey, everybody. I think what I'm most looking forward to are what my kids want. My kids want some Funkos and anything Rebels. I don't know if there'll be anything Rebels here tonight, but definitely they're looking for some Sabine, Chopper, Zeb, and those things.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I know that there's the big announcement. Do you guys know about if the Rebels Funko will be in this release, or is it going to be later?
I think the Sabine one is going to be in the week later, the October 7th one.
The only Rebels thing I know coming out are the 3¾-inch figures. There's Kanan without the helmet.
Yeah. The Kanan Stormtrooper, that's probably the first thing I'm going to look for, to be honest with you. It's kind of interesting to see how they are marketing this. What do you guys think of the Rebels Funko? Corey, we can switch. I'll hold the Periscope here.
The Rebels Funko, yeah, definitely. It's pretty cool to see those come out. I think it's exciting to see them as they are, looks like from season one. But yeah, I think Funkos are nice to see as far as them branching out. As for it seems like they're doing a lot of offshoots, characters, smaller characters and things. So it's nice to see Rebels in that mix.
Taxis says he thinks there's only one Kanan per box. Oh, yeah, that's what he's saying. Come on, Taxis, really? That's not fair. We want more than that. We want more than that. Yeah. Oh, Sabine too. Well, so on the Funko Rebels, did you look at all of them?
Yeah, I should probably talk in the microphone. That's a good idea. Yeah, it's cool to see those, like I said, and it's nice to see that I'm talking. Is it the light? Maybe it's the light. Okay. So we don't control these lights in here, so it's fun. But yeah, those Funkos are coming out. I think what's interesting too, they did a lot of the Rogue One ones too. So those are all come out as well. So it's nice release to see them and available.
Personally, I thought they all looked amazing. I thought that the one that looked the most odd, I thought Zeb looked a little bit creepy.
With those glowing green eyes?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Halsted, for sharing us. We appreciate that. Yeah, glowing. Yeah, there's the picture. Here we go. Let me show the. See that? We're showing it on Periscope now. Yeah, I mean, he's fun because we love Zeb, but it's definitely creepy. Did you guys happen to see the Star Wars show this week? How Steve Bloom was on, and they asked him to say different classic Star Wars lines and different voices, and he talked like Starscream, and then he talked like Donald Duck, but he would quote different lines. It was pretty great. Yeah, exactly. Of the Funko, I'm going to go on a limb, Corey, and say that you want the same one I do, the Kanan.
Yeah, I think so. I wouldn't mind getting all of them. I think it's a good collection to have. Like I said, I think the Funko does a good job of representing the characters themselves as far as Star Wars or any type of comic culture or geek culture or whatnot. And I think they're just a nice collectible to have. And like I said, they're releasing all of them, the whole crew, so it's nice to see that too.
Did you also notice how far we've come? Like, of all the figures they have for Rebels, they have actually two different Sabines. She's the only character that there are two of for that cast. So that's pretty cool. Tom, what about you? We talked about Funko. Are you going to try to swipe as many Rebels ones as you can?
Yeah, I think that's the plan, is the Rebels. I know my girls really like the Rebels ones. The one that I'm disappointed that I'm not going to be able to get tonight is the store that's closed. I really wanted the Jen Erso. So I guess we'll just have to make another trip tomorrow. I mean, geez, what a horrible thing.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. Taxis wants to know if we'll ever see a Dengar Funko.
I think it's doable. I think so. Dengar's popular enough, I think.
I should probably hold this instead of, letting you hold this for me. I'm shivering. If you guys can't realize this, I don't know. I'm not cold. I'm just like a horse. I shiver. I don't know.
It's the energy of the night.
It's the energy of the night,
that's
yes.
What it is, the energy.
Taxis
says,
#FreeDengar. Yeah, this could be true. I don't know yet.
Taxis, are you going to be going to Celebration Orlando this year? Star Wars show is number one, Mark W. I agree with you, Mark W34. He's trying. All right, well, we're going to sign off for a little bit, and Corey's going to build a fire, and we'll be back with you shortly.
Okay, I just finished getting out of the store there for Force Friday and Rogue Friday. We are definitely happy with our finds. Quite the fun crowd. I think we had a lot of folks from the 501st there cheering us on and walking around, giving us a hard time about being Rebels. And that was fun. I think it was pretty cool to see them live in action and spearing on the spirit of Star Wars. So for me, actually a nice group in the line. I spoke with them for quite a long time, and I got to know these guys in line. There were, what did you say, 20 people in line, Dan?
Yeah, I'd say 20, 25 people for sure.
Yeah, we were like fourth and fifth in line, and just chatting it up until the time to count down. Employees came out, let us in, and let us know where all the figures were at, actually, all the displays and whatnot. So that was really cool, too. We'd have to hunt through the store and necessarily find things out. Now, I will preface this too. Our first choice was to go out to Target, where we did last year, keep up the tradition, and see what they had out there. But unfortunately, they were closed this evening in our area. So, second choice was Toys R Us. We went to Toys R Us and claimed our spot. Got in the store. Like I said, they were giving exclusive T-shirts away, posters as well, which is pretty cool. Free stuff there.
And then, you know, they had two displays, like a small side display when you walked in to the towards the right side. And they had a lot of stuff. I felt like I didn't necessarily see something I didn't want necessarily. I think everybody was nice enough to just get what they wanted and kind of move on.
It was absolutely a very gracious crowd of people that we were with, and yeah, this was really cool. We were just talking about the fact that this was exciting and intense, but it was nowhere near the kind of the euphoria that was Force Friday, the very first Force Friday for The Force Awakens. And I think there are a number of reasons for that, primarily the fact that, you know, this movie doesn't have Han Solo in it, right, or anyone familiar like that per right. se. Jyn Erso is very neat, but we have not seen her in action yet. Could be quite different if, you know, in the future there was more Jyn Erso things coming out. But it was a nice, I wouldn't say they were subdued. They were reserved as far as, like, there was nobody pushing or anything like that. We were just, everybody just kind of ran to their spots, and the manager there came out and spoke with us very, very gracious, very direct about what was going
very
on. Yeah, he's a very nice guy. He seemed happy. He seemed to really enjoy the moment almost as much as we did.
Yeah,
you know. Hopefully. And so when you walk in, there was this big display. And it was just the action figures. Last year, my big beef was when I first ran out to where all of this stuff was designated, there were no 3 3/4 figures. And then when, by the time I figured out where they were, pretty much all the ones I wanted were gone. This year was not that case. There was a huge, huge selection. The number one thing I was looking for, as Corey knows, was Kanan in his Stormtrooper gear, and they had a million of those, so I grabbed that right away. Found K2SO, grabbed him, and then I found Sabine, which was so great. I wasn't 100% sure that she would be available as a 3 3/4 inch figure, so I got her as well. Corey mentioned we got the free Funko Pop Rogue One t-shirt, and we got a poster too. Not a Funko Pop, just a Rogue One poster. That was fun. There's just so much. It was like, I would say, subdued adrenaline for this, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I always get, my anxiety always seems to go up for some reason. I don't know why. You know, you always think you're not going to get what you need or want or something like that. This wasn't the case. This was nice. Like I said, it was subdued. It was a great experience, I think, all around. Like I said, yeah, I walked in and went to the display there. First thing I grabbed was a 6-inch Black Series K2SO, which I was looking forward to grabbing. There's plenty to get. And then kind of looked around a little more. And as our fans and family know, that I'm not necessarily a huge collector, so just kind of hunting whatever kind of caught my eye. Another character, another 6-inch Black Series caught my eye was the, I think it's the tank driver?
Yeah, I know.
The hover tank driver, which apparently was the exclusive at Toys R Us. I had a little sticker on there, and we got pictures on our Instagram, which is brand new, so check us out on Instagram. Some of those photos we'll put up pretty soon. And grabbed that guy, and then I grabbed Sabine as well, because my daughter probably loved to play Sabine and have fun with her. So a lot of other things we kind of saw, I think, with, you know, tempting to get, I think, Dan. One of them was the Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels got some cool X-Wing style cars. They had Slave One and TIE Fighter. What was some of the things you saw, Dan, that you kind of maybe passed up?
The number one thing that stands out to me that I passed up was Hera with the A-Wing, the 3 3/4 inch Hera. That was really, really cool. One of my favorite episodes from season 2 of Star Wars Rebels. So that was neat. I really enjoy looking at that. I like looking at the Black Series figures, the 6-inch. I don't necessarily gravitate towards those besides the very first wave that ever came out. But fortunately, Hasbro sent me Cassian Andor, so I have that. And you got K2SO, which was the thing you absolutely had your eye on. So that was neat. I just like looking at everything. I like looking at these clean displays of the brand new boxes, mint in package. They haven't been rummaged through. There are no such thing as Rogue One peg warmers right now. Although I sort of have expectations about what they might be, you know, a few months down the road. I love, love, love the TIE Striker. That vehicle is amazing. I'm going to get that eventually, because it was a heck of a nice thing. The U-Wing is interesting. I want to see it in action first. It's not necessarily one I will buy a 3 3/4 inch version of that the figures can fit into. but I liked it. I think it was just overall kind of the ambiance of Rogue One. I love the packaging for Rogue One, which when it first came out, we got to talk with Steve Sansweet on, which is really nice. So there's just a lot of cool things going on.
Yeah, I will also say that I was looking for some Funko Pops. It didn't seem like they didn't have anything new from this release, Rogue One characters or anything exclusive. So it was kind of a bummer there.
And Corey did mention we have our brand new Coffee with Kenobi Instagram account. I've been toying with the idea of that for a while. And I thought, well, we're going to have a lot of cool pictures. I'm not really as good about sharing them on Twitter as I could be. We do more of our articles there and our blogs and news stories on our Twitter feed. And I thought, well, let's focus on some pictures. I enjoy taking pictures of the Star Wars merchandise and things going on. It's a lot of fun. So we're going to be uploading quite a few of those overnight, which is, of course, Force Friday. And by the way, Corey.
Yeah.
It's 40 minutes into Force Friday, September 30th.
40 minutes.
Happy birthday to me.
Exactly. It's funny because we talked about the line, how today is Dan's birthday and how much fun he's going to have. And of course, today is also International Podcast Celebration Day. So it's kind of an accumulation of such great things. It's funny because we were standing there in the store, kind of checking out what we had on our hands. And kind of fumbling around with things. And Dan realized, oh, yeah, it's my birthday. It was kind of a funny realization, a fun moment, a fun way to kind of experience a moment. I think it was fun. And that's kind of tough stuff that I enjoy, too, those in-moment jokes or experiences that we have as fans and as friends. And so happy birthday to you, buddy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, dude. I guess we should also say, since we are proudly sponsored by Topps, the Topps Digital Card Trader Collecting App. They have brand new Rogue One sets out now. We jumped on that right away while we were in line for Force Friday. There was a ton of cool stuff. A lot of cool Rogue One images. I believe there are, eight in this set? Is that right?
I think there's eight in one premiere set, and then there's a secondary set. I want to say it has 12. Don't quote me on that, though. So.
And if you get the secondary set, they increase your odds for future Rogue One sets that are coming out in the near future. So be sure to download the cards, the Topps Digital
Card Trading App.
Card Trading App, that's right. Because they've got all the latest and greatest Rogue One images, and it's very, very cool to kind of get more of an idea of what's going on. It appears our Force Friday midnight run has come to its conclusion, Mr. Club. Basically, we tried to go to 5 stores tonight. Mm-hmm. Only one delivered, and it delivered in a beautiful way. So, we are in good shape. So, Overall impressions of this Force Friday?
Overall impressions. Well, what turned into be maybe disheartening at the beginning seemed to win out, seeing as we had some great finds. We found everything we wanted to get our hands on. And we also were able to, work with some bunch of cool guys, a bunch of cool people online, and kind of talk and know each other and joke around. But yeah, the last half, I guess, here is kind of a bust as far as Walmart kind of coming up short. They didn't have anything necessarily out, which we kind of talked about in the store, walking out, thinking like, okay, cool reason that they have midnight releases is for fans that want to get online first, want to be able to get their hands on stuff, in person, be there to be able to experience it. And what I find is like, like that's the reason you do a midnight release. But then if you go to a store and they don't have that stuff, you go home and go to bed, but then the next day it's all released for the the world to consume. You're kind of like back in line again trying to find things, and now we're scouring new stores to find new things. I kind of feel like a little bit torn, I guess, with the whole experience.
In that you wish we had more options, more opportunities. The thing, I think what spoiled us is last year for Force Friday for The Force Awakens. There were aisles, there were 3 or 4 aisles in Target of Star Wars things that weren't toys, like t-shirts and costumes and coffee mugs and notebooks and pencils.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see all that stuff. Now, tomorrow morning, which is in 4 hours for us right now?
Sure.
we're gonna see that stuff, and indubitably we will. But it would just be nice to see it. So I agree. So I'm gonna give this sort of a, I guess, C plus. Since we, I mean, this isn't Rebels Reactions, but if we're gonna grade it, I'd say the first Force Friday for me was an A minus, and this one is a C plus.
I think that's fair. I agree with that grading system. And I mean, like, I wouldn't say that I'm like, oh man, I didn't get anything, or I didn't. Nobody had anything. Like, I think Kojima did a great job of getting his plays out and having things available. Like you said, though, I mean, I want to see more stuff, notebooks and pencils and all that side stuff that you can help find out. So I'm excited to see that stuff in stores. And you know, like I said, I'll still probably go out once in a while, hunt it down, and see what's available. And it will be available. That's the thing. It'll be out there. But I'm just hoping for more.
We'll see. But more importantly, how did all of you do with your Force Friday hunting and your collecting? This is a great, great time in Star Wars. It's almost like Star Wars every few months gives us little holidays, whether it's the premiere of Rebels or a new Star Wars film, which is the best part, of course, or new merchandise or Force Friday or May the 4th be with you or Star Wars Reach Day. There's always something Star Wars-y coming around the bend, and Coffee with Kenobi will be there to give you our own unique blend of analysis with a side of humor. This is, you know what this is, right? This is like slap happy Dan and Corey situation. Like driving home from Celebration Anaheim kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's just like, it's funny because it's
true.
We were talking about this in the car too, how kind of off the cuff, we don't have anything written, we're just kind of talking to be talking. But this is kind of what the show, I guess, we originally talked about was like just two dudes just out, you know, doing our Star Wars thing, and this is it. This is the thick of it as far as, you know, being like, you know, almost 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're a little slide happy, as you said, and having a good time. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So thanks again to everybody for supporting us on Periscope, on our website, on Facebook, on Twitter,
Instagram.
Now on Instagram, and an experiment with our Facebook Live feed, so... Signing off for Coffee with Kenobi, it's Dan Z.
Chewie, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed @coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
Give the evacuation code signal.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.